So Parshas Korach brings to mind Machoikis. As soon as we say Korach, it brings to mind Machoikis right away. And we know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah tells us, which is a Machoikis L'Shem Shemayim, Machoikis Shammai and Hillel, Beishammai and Beishillel, Shloi L'Shem Shemayim, is Korach V'chol Adosai. Machoikis L'Shem Shemayim has a Kiyum, Machoikis Shloi L'Shem Shemayim is no Kiyum to. And Kairach v'chol adosai is the epitome, the example of a machloikis not l'shem shemayim. And everybody asks the question, how do you know if this machloikis is l'shem shemayim or not? You see a machloikis taking place. Unfortunately, machloikis has a certain kairach, and it grabs people into it, and people get very excited about it. How do you know? Is it l'shem shemayim? Is it not l'shem shemayim? What's the secret? How can you tell a machloikis l'shem shemayim or not?
It could happen to him.
That's at the end, but how do you know when the machlokes is raging and going on? How do you know? Should I join in? I shouldn't join in? Is it l'shem shemayim? Is it not l'shem shemayim? What's the secret? There has to be some way we could tell.
Oh.
So the Mishnah tells us, what's l'shem shemayim? Shammai and Hillel. What does the Mishnah say at the end of the first parak in Yevamos? The Mishnah says, the famous machlokes is about being matted at Tzaros Lach. We know by Yevamah, the din is, that if Reuven and Shimon are two brothers, and Reuven's married to his niece, to Shimon's daughter, for example, and he has another wife, and Reuven dies without children, and they both fall to Shimon for Yibum, they both go free. Because Shimon can't be miyad with his niece, and the tzor of the niece also goes free. Beis Shammai disagrees, that's Beis Hillel Shita. Beis Shammai says no. Beis Shammai says you can't be miyad with the tzor of the erva, and the tzor can't have Yibum. So the Mishnah says it comes out, tremendous differences now. If the Yavam is Miyavim Netzara, according to Beis Shammai, he did a mitzvah, and the child's kosher. According to Beis Hillel, he was like the Chai Vekrisus, Issa Ve'eshesach. Whenever there's no Yibum, the Issa Ve'eshesach remains. There's an Issa Ve'eshesach. Mamzerim. And yet the Mishnah says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel intermarried with each other. How could they intermarry with each other? According to Beis Shammai, there were Mamzerim that according to Beis Hillel, how were they allowed to intermarry with each other? And the Mishnah says that they inform Beis Hillel, this family is not for you. This family is not for you. Stay away. We got to be Tumah and Taira. There are certain times the Shammai is Metair, Beis Hillel is Metame, vice versa. And still the Mishnah says they borrowed Kelim from each other. They were Noigin Ava of Achva of Reus, and they borrowed Kelim from each other. It's Tomei according to me and Torah according to you. They informed each other, this Kelim you can't use. This Kelim he could use. And they were knowing Ava Achva. They intermarried and they lent each other Kelim. That was Shammai and Hillel. When you see the people involved in the Machlokes treat each other with respect, treat each other with kavod, and the shalom between them, that's a Machlokes L'Shem Shemayim. They're arguing L'Shem Shemayim, but they don't let it carry over into their personal lives, and they don't hate the other person, they're not out to ruin the other person. That's a simon of Machlokes L'Shem Shemayim. Shammai and Hillel. Kairach v'chol adosoi. What happened? Not only was Kairach arguing with Moshe, but amongst themselves they argued. Each one wanted to be the head. They all brought the Ketairis. There was inner fighting between them. There was no shalom v'reis between them. When you see a party that's fighting, and when you see one side, there's among themselves they can't have shalom. That's a simon. That's a shalom shem shemayim. And that's the lush of the Mishnah. That's the machlokes of Kairach v'chol adosoi. Because Kairach and his whole Eidah, they argued even among themselves. They weren't united. It was Kairach v'chol adosai. Kairach and his whole Eidah argued against Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a simon of Shalei L'Shem Shemayim. Okay? Whatever it is in Machlokes, it's always better to stay out of it. Even if you have a tzad, it's L'Shem Shemayim, you're better off staying out of it. Because, unfortunately, what happens? When a person gets involved in Machlokes, it gets a little bit too personal. And once that happens, even though it might have started off correctly, it's Shulei L'Shem Shemayim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says that a machlokes is like a river. Rav Huna says in Sanhedrin, I think it's daf. If I read what I wrote, I'll be okay. Okay, Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's in the first paragraph. I'm getting a Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Rav Huna holds, it says a machlokes is like a river. When a river overflows, what happens? First is a little breach in the bank of the river, the side of the river, and a little trickle of water falls out. If you're able to stop it right then and there and block the water from flowing, no damage is done. But if you let the trickle continue and the hole becomes bigger, then it causes damage. But you can still plug up the hole. But if you don't take care of it at all and you let the river overflow, it ruins the fields, it causes a vilt, it causes much damage. A machlekes is the same way. Machlekes starts off a little trickle, little argument. If you don't catch it and stop it right away, it expands. You still have a chance to catch it. If you don't, and it expands and expands and expands, it causes much destruction and much ruin to people. It's like a river that overflows. Very careful. When you see machlekes starting, try to catch it and stop it. We said over many times from the Shulchan Kaddish, the word machlekes is a remez to how machlekes progresses. The mem has a little opening towards the bottom. Mem is closed all around with a little opening between the leg and the bottom of the mem. Very small opening by a machlekes. If you don't stop it, it expands to a ches. A ches is totally open on the bottom. It expands wider. A lamed is the tallest letter. The tallest letter of the alphabet. The lamed goes all the way up. You don't stop the machlekes, it goes all the way up to Shemayim. A kuf is the lowest letter. The leg of the kuf extends down. You don't stop the machlekes, it goes all the way down. It expands. A tuf, it grows a leg to stand on. The tuf, the corner, bends over. There's a solid leg. There's two legs to stand on. And machlekes remains and remains and remains. If you don't stop the machlekes at the very beginning, it expands bottom, top, all around, and remains. The Matei Ephraim, say over a story about the Ephraim Agolos, the Matei Ephraim, that one time an expensive keli in his house broke. And his wife was very upset about it. She was very, very angry, very upset that it broke. And Matei Ephraim said to her, take it easy, it's not the end of the world. And she was upset how it broke. And she said to him, how could you not be upset? How could you not be upset? It's expensive, keli broke. How could you not be upset? And he says to her, in a year from now, I'll tell you why I'm not upset. In a year from now. I can't explain it to you now, but in a year from now, I'll tell you why I'm not upset. Okay? She looks at him, in a year from now. Okay? Bekitzer, time goes on. It's a year later. Somehow she remembers what happened. And she says to him a year later, remember what happened last year? That keli broke? And I was very upset and you weren't? And you told me that next year you tell me why you weren't upset? It's next year. Why weren't you upset? And he says to her, let me ask you a question. Are you still upset? Now that it's a year later, are you still upset that it broke a year ago? And she says, well, to tell you the truth, a lot of things happened over the year. A lot more things happened that I could be upset about. And looking in retrospect, a year later, it doesn't bother me as much. As a matter of fact, I'm not that upset about it now because it's a year later. He says to her, I like to think ahead. I already thought last year what I'd feel like this time next year. And I knew that a year later, it's not going to bother us anymore because a year later, so many different things happened that in the whole, in retrospect, over the whole year, it's a kleinigkeit. It's a little nothing that happened. I thought ahead. And that's why I told you to ask me next year. Because I wanted to show you that next year, it doesn't mean that much. It's not worthwhile to get upset at the time that it happens, because in the ultimate plan, in the ultimate life that a person has, as time goes on, it doesn't mean much. It's not worthwhile to get upset now, because a year later, it's not going to matter much anyway. But a person has to be careful when God be angry. The Gemara says, Toila Eretz Ablima. The world hangs al blima. The Gemara Dashan is on one who closes his mouth at the time of a machlekes, when he's insulted or someone says something not right. And he's quiet. He doesn't answer. He doesn't answer at all. In his schus, the world exists. It's a tremendous schus to be able to be quiet and not answer back, even though a person feels he's right and he has every reason to. Afal PK, a person who prevents a machlekes is zeicher to great, is zeicher to great reward. The Sefer Madrigas HaOdom brings down a marshal, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Rashi tells us, Kairach B'keach. Kairach was a B'keach. So Rashi asks, Ma Ro
Rishtus Zu. How do you know Kairach was a B'keach?
Because you have a gematria with the letters. Rashi brings down the Kairach had Ruach HaKaidish. He saw Shmuel HaNavi would come out from him. And Kairach thought, with all his cheshbonis, that he's zeichet to gedura, and therefore he protested that he should be the Kohen Gadol, and so on. So Madrigas Adam says, somebody's walking through the forest, and he sees a dead bird lying on the floor. Suddenly he sees a live bird fly by. The live bird bends down with its mouth, picks up some of the grass, drops some of the grass in the live bird, and the dead bird comes back to life. Tchias amazing. And he's looking at this, amazed. I just discovered the secret of life, this grass, tchias amazing. Quickly bends down, and grabs and stuffs his pocket with this grass to bring home, tchias amazing. On the way home, he has to try it out before he presents it to people, make a fool of himself. He wants to try it out. He passes by a dead lion on the way. Figures, here's my chance, I'll try it out. Takes the grass, sprinkles it all around, traps it in a dead lion, and sure enough, it works. And the lion roars to life. And what's the first thing the lion does? The lion eats supper. And the lion takes and attacks him, and that's the end. That's the end. Okay. What's the point of the story? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everybody this grace. Gave everybody kaychus, talents, abilities. Everybody has their kaychus in life. What are we supposed to use the kaychus for? We use the kaychus for what's good, to serve Hashem, not for the wrong things. If you go and take, so to speak, the grace or kaychus that Hashem gave, and instead of using it for things that are good, you use it to revive the lion, to bring out your taivis, to bring out the yetzahara, then you're going ahead and defeating the whole purpose. Kosh Baruch Hu gave everybody their kaychus, their ability to use the right way, not to use the wrong way. If you take it and you use your kaychus to serve the Yetzirah, to do Averis, you're bringing the lion, so to speak, to life, and it can end up ruining a person. A person has to be careful to use the kaychus that he has. Rabbi Chaim ben Elis, Fasenis writes, Rabbi Chaim ben Elevi, Kairach tainet, he wants to be the Kohen Gadol. Kairach wasn't happy being a Levi. If Kairach would have appreciated his tachlis in life, his position in life, when Hashem gave him, there wouldn't have been any kinna. Every person has his job in life. For me to do somebody else's job, it's not going to work. It's not going to be my tikkun. Everybody has what they're supposed to do. You find many times, in the Gemara you find, the Gemara says, this person is a Ben Olam Haba. He's a Ben Olam Haba. And it's not for things that we thought. A person's Mesameach. Oh, this is a Ben Olam Haba. Sneus, a person says, brings a person, Olam Haba. Every person has his tafkid, how he achieves his Olam Haba. My job is not for you. Kairach was a Levi. Trying to become the Kohen Gadol destroyed him. If he would have appreciated his position, his job, he would have been just as great, but in his position. A person who's jealous of others and doesn't appreciate what he has ends up hurting himself. Every person has their tafkid, their way of serving Hashem. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out what the tafkid is, to find, but every person knows himself where his kaychus lie, where his talents lie, and that's what a person has to use to serve Hashem. The medrash brings down a very powerful medrash. The pasuk says later on in Tezayin, pasuk Chavov, the pasuk tells us that when the earth was about to swallow up Kairach, Chol Adosai, so the pasuk says, Moshe by pasuk Chavav by Dabra Ha'edolema Suru No Miyal Oholei Ha'Anoshim Harashoyim Eila. Moshe calls out, "Remove, go away from the tents of these Anoshim Rishoyim, V'Al Tigel B'Chol Hashelahem, Pentisofu B'Chol Chataisa." And the Medrash brings down, and I quote the Medrash word for word. It's in Perek Yudches Ois Yud Beis. The Medrash B'Midbar Rabba says the following: Arba'a Nikru Rishoyim. Four people are called Rishoyim. Who are Rishoyim? Hapoishit yad achaveiro lakoisai. One who lifts his hand to hit his friend, afapi shoi kol. Even though he didn't hit him. That we know from Moshe Rabbeinu. Like Dawson and Moshe Rabbeinu in Pashas Shemois. Rosha lomasaka reyecha. And Rashi says, even though they didn't hit, but for lifting one's hand to hit, one is called a Rosha. Second, haloiva v'eil mashal. One who borrows and doesn't pay back. Pasuk at Tehillim, loiva Rosha v'loyeshalim. One who borrows money, or borrows, and doesn't pay back. Third, umi shieshuay azus ponim, one who has chutzpah, ve'enoy misbayesh, lefnei mishehu gadol mimenu. And he's not embarrassed in front of one who's greater than him. It's called a rasha. One who has chutzpah, but he's not embarrassed in front of someone greater than him, is called a rasha. And the fourth is umi shehu Umishahu Baal Machlaikis. And one was a Baal Machlaikis. Shnem, like it says, Suru Nomi Aholei Ha'anosh Marashoyim Ha'ila. Moshe called out, remove yourself from these Rishoyim. And they were all Baal Machlaikis. So the Medrash tells us that a Baal Machlaikis is called a Rosh. Something to think about. Before one gets involved in a Machlaikis, it's not worthwhile to be called a Rosh just to be involved in a Machlaikis. The pasuk says, what happened to Karech L'chadah? So, Tiftach Ha'aretz is Pia, V'ativ Ha'isam. The earth is swallowed them up. Okay? It's hard for us to picture, but that's what happened. I saw a Maisa. Maybe we can verify it. But the Ramah was in Krakow in the 1500s. There was a Yid who didn't follow the ways of the Torah, a Kayin, who wanted to marry a Grusha. He wanted to marry a Grusha. And they came to the Ramah, who was the Rav, and said, marry us off. And the Ramah said, you're a Kayin, she's a Grusha. I can't. And the Kayin said, I don't care. I want you to make the Grusha. I want to have a wedding. I want you to marry us off. And the Ramah tried to speak to him and convince him, nothing doing. The Ramah said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And the Kayin said, you can't do it. I have my connections. The king is very friendly with me. And if you're not going to do it, I'm going to have the king come and force you to marry us off. Went to the king. And he told the king that the rabbi is not officiating the way he should. And he's not being fair to all the people in the town. He's refusing to marry us off. And unfortunately, I need your help. The king sent a message to the Ramah that he has to marry him off. There's no excuses. You're a rabbi. Part of the rabbi's job is to officiate by weddings, and you have to go ahead and make this officiate by the wedding. They set a date. I guess they sent out invitations, and the whole town knew that there's going to be trouble the day of the chuppah. This kohen was so powerful, he had the king send soldiers to Ramah's house on the day of the chuppah, to make sure the Ramah doesn't avoid coming to the wedding. The soldiers come, and the Ramah sees, he doesn't know what to do, he's in trouble. He doesn't know what to do. He's misbalanced, and he goes with the soldiers to the chuppah. Comes to the chuppah, and he tries one last time to convince the Kayin and the Grusha not to go through with it. They adamantly refuse, said the king decreed that you have to marry us off, we're not changing our minds, I want you to go through with it. The Ramah raises his voice and he says out loud, everyone should go away from these Rishoyim. People got scared. The Ramah raised his voice and he said such a posse, they got frightened. People started to disperse. The crowd disperses and the Ramah is left with the chosin and the kala. And people standing a little bit back already. And Ramah tries one last time that they should stop and not go through with it. And they refuse. They want to go through with it. And Ramah says, follow. And Ramah says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, also behem din shel emes. Punish them with a din shel emes. Kefi shiroi lasois, like it's deserving to be done. The merimim yad to those that lift up the hand, the Torah's Moshe against the Torah of Moshe, ba'azus meitzach with such outright chutzpah. Within a few seconds, the ground starts to shake, and slowly but surely, the ground starts to open up, a big hole, and the kohen and the grusha fall right into the ground, and are swallowed up by the ground. People see that. Word gets back to the king. The king is scared, is terrified. He's starting up with the Ramah, who could do such things. He's terrified. He calls the Ramah to come to him. And he says to the Ramah, I'm wanting to ask you forgiveness. I'm sorry. I didn't know how serious it was. I'm sorry. Please don't take it out on me. And the Ramah says, it's nothing personal. This punishment is only for those that went against the Torah. Nothing for my covet. It's nothing for me. Nothing's going to happen to you. Everything will be fine. The king says, since I caused you such pain, such agmas nefesh, let me fulfill one bakasha. Ask me one request, and I'll fulfill whatever you want, because I caused you all this trouble. And the Ramah says, I have one small request to ask you. And And that is, we have a law in the Torah that a kohen can't become tamei to a meis. This area where the kohen and the grusha were swallowed up is a cemetery. They're buried right there in that spot. And I want to make sure that kahanim know not to walk on that spot. So I'm asking the king permission to build a wall around that area so people will know that this is a makom of tumah and should stay away. And the king agreed and they built a wall around the spot. I never visited Krakow, but they say ad hayoyim, there is a spot where suddenly in the middle of the sidewalk there's a wall, there's a wall built around it. And that's the story behind this wall. So if you do a little research on it, call Kabbalah. Okay? But I saw it from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. Usually his stories are... Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. So his stories usually are accurate. Okay? I'll call upon him. The Torah is Nitzchis. The Torah goes on forever. And if this happened in times of Moshe Rabbeinu, it can happen again. Okay? I just want to end off. The Gemara says, where the Midrash says, Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa is the wife of Oin Ben Pelas. Oin Ben Pelas, his wife, saved him from being killed with Kairach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Kuftes brings down, Oin is a Loshim of Aninus, Pelas is Nasa Pilek Flois, wonders were done to him. She was able to save her husband from the whole story of being involved. She saved him. She told him, Meman of Shach, what do you have to gain? Whether Moshe wins, or Karech wins, you're going to be the same Oin Ben Pelas you were anyway. It doesn't pay for you to get involved. And she protected him, but she uncovered her hair when they came to him in the morning. Whichever version you want to learn in the story, and she saved him. You find Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa. Reb Shmuel Salant was Yerushalayim, was the Rav. And one day a young girl comes to him with a chicken, with a shayla. And the girl comes in and she gets very nervous. A young girl. And she can't express herself clearly. And Shmuel Salant has no idea what the shayla is. And he can't understand the word that she's talking about. He tries to calm her down and she just can't express herself. He tells her, go home and tell your mother to send an older child with the chicken because I don't understand what the shayla is. Go home and send an older child with the chicken. The girl walks out. And suddenly she calms herself down, and she turns around, she goes right back in. And Shmuel Salant says to her, I told you, tell your mother to send an older child. And the girl says to Shmuel Salant, I just grew up, I became older. And I calmed myself down, and now I could tell you the Shaila, and she expresses the Shaila to him. Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa. I became older. Powerful lesson. Every day, every hour, a person becomes older. A minute ago, a person could be in one matziv. A minute later, a person could be in a different matziv. An hour later, things change. Everything could change. A person goes through the matziv. The trick is a person has to know how to use his time. How to use the minutes, the hours, the time that he has. So, I don't know if anybody noticed last night. I hope nobody noticed. I came into shir. I was a little bit out of it. I don't know if anybody noticed too much. I want to tell you the story that happened to me right before I came to shir last night. I came last night. I work in Jersey. Usually I'm home about an hour, sometimes a little less, a little more. Even with traffic, an hour 15 minutes, an hour and a half. I left work yesterday at 5 o'clock. I came home. I walked in the door about 8:20 and change. I was going to come straight here, but I had to get my hat was at home. I wanted to get my hat to Davenport. Here at 8:20. It took me almost 3.5 hours to come home last night. I came here straight from driving for 3.5 hours. I was driving straight. And okay, Baruch Hashem. I don't know if you could tell or not, but it took me a while to calm down last night. What happened last night? So usually we take the outer bridge home. It's ready to Perth Amboy, no problem. Ready to leave at 5 o'clock, we hear there's an accident on the outer bridge. It's a standstill, 45-minute delays, and nothing, check on everything's red, there's traffic, nothing's moving. Okay. Plan A doesn't work. Not the first time it happened. Take the gafels. Plan B, no problem. Okay. So, of course, there's two ways to take the gafels. Take the one and the nine, and take the turnpike. Either way. So, somebody else, one and nine. And, of course, Chochem, turnpike's faster. We'll take the turnpike. So, I had somebody else with me. We took the turnpike. And we're going 75, the turnpike. till about exit 12. And Gathus is exit 13. Between 12 and 13, the right lane, which is the exit to go to the bridge, stops. Standstill. Backed up. Backed up on the turnpike. Okay. No, no. How bad could it be already, you know? After all, the accident's by the outer bridge, not here. How bad could it be? So I'm going to the right lane. And it's about 5:20, 5:25. No problem. How long could it take already? Sitting there, I'm waiting, and it's crashing, and crashing, and crashing. And I'm moving a little bit, and I'm saying to myself, this is not an answer. Let's just go out. And, you know, if I'm by my, you know, sometimes when you have somebody with you, and they put their 2 cents in, you know, no, let's stay. I don't know how to go the other way. Of course, my phone at that time totally died. One day I didn't recharge my battery. My phone was totally dead. Every day I recharged the battery. I pumped in. My phone was totally dead. I didn't recharge in the car. So without the phone, without it. Okay. Without Waze, without GPS. Okay, fine. So I'm sitting there.
Traffic report.
What?
Traffic report.
Yeah, traffic report, yeah. A little traffic by the guy, traffic reports.
If you're traveling
wherever, you know the little traffic, wherever you are, you're invisible to them. That's how it works. Every other place is traffic except where you're sitting. Yeah, Gotham Bridge, slight delays, and Nechtika talk slight delays. Anyway, so I was debating, should I go out? Okay, finally, we creep, and we get to the point where the turnpike, where we're on the exit, and there's a barrier, and I can't cross over the barrier to the turnpike anymore, because I'm already on the exit to the bridge. Okay, it's quite late already. It took about maybe a half hour. It's getting close to 6 o'clock. Okay, how much will go? And then we're waiting, and it starts inching slowly but surely. And it stops. And then it inches. And then it stops. And it inches, and it stops. And it inches, and it stops. And it's partially nowhere to go. It's one lane, and it's lined up. Already the chachamim with the cars are going on the shoulder, trying to squeeze around, and it's going to be the Wild West. It's going to be the Wild West on the side. And everybody's looking, you know, people walking out of the cars already. The radio doesn't say anything. No idea. Inch by inch by inch by inch. 10 minutes not moving, inch by inch. And it's just getting later and later. Okay. Finally, we look down. You have to make a turn. If you ever go down the ramp, you have to come down. There's a slight curve. Then you come to the tolls, and then you should be able to go onto the bridge. Come down to make that curve, and it just push it. Finally, it's come out almost 7 o'clock already. It's like 10 to 7 already. And just not moving, not going anywhere. We start inching towards the tolls, and the toll plaza becomes one big, you know, they play rush hour, one big rush hour. Everybody's just sitting there, and there's no lanes. It's not just like a parking lot. Suddenly, an ambulance comes through from the other side, comes from, I guess, Staten Island into Jersey, zooms through the tolls, and he has to get through the side where all the traffic is. Something must have happened on all the way to the right. Try to get through about 6-7 lanes of solid cars. He puts his sirens on, starts blaring. The kids, somehow, some way, he got through. He finishes, the second ambulance comes. And he has to get through. This is already 7 o'clock, it's just not going anymore. Well, I look past the tolls and I see it's just the same thing. No one's moving, no one's going anywhere. It's not an eight, I can't stay here anymore. What am I gonna do? I notice as we get towards the tolls that suddenly the barrier is gone and there's only cones separating the direction coming into Jersey and then going to Staten Island. There's only cones. Okay. I notice there's a nice gap and it can make a U-turn. It's not something I normally do. I usually try to follow the rules. That's not me. The kids, I'm debating, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Because if not, I'm not going to see anything, nothing. Suddenly, a white truck cuts across all the way from the right, the same way the ambulance went that way, he cuts across the other way. I don't know how he got through, he gets through and he makes the U-turn. I said, if he does it, I'm doing it. There's no way, I can't see him. So I had missed the little gap between the cones. Brokshim was another little gap, and the traffic was not heavy coming that way. There was a big gap in the traffic. I made the U-turn. When I did it, the next one did it. And the time I did it, well, a couple of cars had already had done it. Okay, now where do we go? Okay, next day it's the Bayonne Bridge. This is the third bridge.
Bayonne Bridge. Closed, no?
So I put the radio on. I heard the radio on earlier at 6:30. Bayonne Bridge is moving fine. No problem. By that time it was very 7. After rush hour, so no problem going to Bayonne Bridge. Get off exit 14A. Made a wrong turn, 440 south, fine, Bayonne Bridge. Suddenly we're on the road, and in the middle of the road, there's a police car blocking the road with a truck. Not going anywhere. Shine. Now what are we going to do? And the cars are piling up behind me. So I had somebody with me. He went out to the police car and just asked him what the story is. He says, no. He says, they're just fixing it. In a few minutes they're going to move. You get through, but the bridge is closed. Okay, this is already 7:15. the bridge is closed. The kids are nice. The police car finally moves. Get around, make a U-turn, come down. I needed a break. I couldn't sit in the car. I was going in my mind. We passed by a Walmart and a Lowe's. So I said, okay, we'll stop at a Walmart for 5 minutes. Fine. Just in a car, took a little break, walked into Walmart. I don't recommend going into that Walmart. Walmart may own. This leaves a lot to be desired. Anyway. I walked in, okay, fine. I wanted to get a bottle of water. Oh, fine. Kids on ice, I had 5 minutes. I took a break, come back to the car. What do we do now? No average. No, I'm not going back, that's for sure. Okay, we have to go through Manhattan. There's only one of the to turn back into Manhattan. George Washington Bridge, Hamlin Tunnel, Lincoln Tunnel, no problem. So I remember seeing early in the turnpike the sign. They tell you how much time it takes to get to each one. Hamlin Tunnel was 26 minutes, Lincoln Tunnel was 30, George Washington was 45. Hamlin Tunnel is the least of all evils. We'll go with the Hamlin Tunnel. As we're going towards the turnpike in Bayonne, there's a nice flashing sign, and the sign says, Turnpike to Hamlin Tunnel, 12 minutes. 12 minutes? We're grabbing it. No problem. Onto the turnpike, and Baruch Hashem, and about 9.5 minutes, we go by the Hamlin Tunnel. The tunnel was clear, came into Manhattan, went to the west side, went to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, and as soon as I come to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, right before I went, there was a red light. All the cars were made the red light. And for some reason, the car right in front of me had to stop, and he didn't want to make the light, so I got caught behind him. Okay. I go through the red light, and as I come down the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, they decide that that's the time they're closing the... Oh, no. They're switching. They close one tube, and they make the other tube two-way traffic. Oh, right, this is close to 8 o'clock, right? Anyway. I couldn't make the story up if I tried. So.
You gotta go to McSorley's and
anyway. I was thinking the whole time what the anyway, you come to the police guy, tells me like this, stop, the truck comes, they start moving cones around, whatever it took. Finally, he opens it up, I'm able to go through the other tube, two-way traffic. I come into Brooklyn, Baruch Hashem, everything is fine. No problem. Come by Church Avenue, of course the light's red, traffic gets backed up there. Okay, so it's 8:05. No problem, I'm good, be okay. Ocean Parkway is a mess, can't move. So if Ocean Parkway doesn't work, what do you do?
Ocean Avenue.
Go to Coney Island Avenue. I forgot that by Forster Avenue, you have all the Arabs. And yesterday and today, is there a holiday? And between Forster and Avenue H, is there a big block? And they had a whole fair set up, police all over the place, and guns and luck. And we had to sit and wait. The kids finally got through that. Like, it's already 8:15, 8:18, 20. I think after that, we're pretty much okay. Finally made it down. I had to run home. I had to take somebody home. Wolf came around, and finally, we were able to make it. So that's what happened. That's what happened last night. So if I wasn't prepared last night, that's not right before I walked in this year. Why am I saying this all for? Two reasons. One is poshut, that sometimes it's difficult to come this year. Sometimes it's hard to come. It's difficult. It's difficult to come this year, but still try to do what we could do. The Yetzer sometimes works hard. And he's very ingenious sometimes. He comes up with the greatest ways to stop a person from going somewhere. I have no idea what happened. I tried to find out today what happened. I have no idea what the story was last night, why it was blocked up, what happened. But that was my reason.
Second thing. Nothing happened.
Maybe, I don't know. I really, no, there were two ambulances. So something had to happen. Something happened. And second of all, I think it's just a lesson. We think we're in control. I'm driving home. It's going to be fine. I can go. You think you're sitting there and Bainano, you can't move, and everything just comes to a standstill. And you think a little bit, you know. And that's really it. But the bottom line is Zichron and Erev Shabbos. When people say don't travel late, take it seriously. Take it very.
What are you gonna do for the future? You're gonna have the tapes with you. in the car. You'll prepare the shiur on the tapes while you're in traffic.
Okay, fine. You know what? You know what? That works. That works sometimes. But you're sitting in traffic, and you, and you have to watch every move they make. They make on both sides of you. You know, it's not. Your nerves are shot at that time.
I know.
No matter who you are, your nerves are shot if you're driving. So, but Erev Shabbos, don't take a chance. It's not worth it. Nothing's going to happen. I've been making this commute from Jersey a long, long time. This is the worst that ever happened. We had one Erev Shabbos where the outer bridge and the Gatos bridge were closed. I remember this years back. Only the Beyond bridge was open. And Rosh Hashanah was one of these summer Fridays, so it was a long time. Beyond bridge was on Rosh Hashanah and we made it. But the traffic coming in to go to Jersey was only able to go through the Beyond bridge. And many, many, many people got stuck and didn't make it and had to go off and so on. But Erev Shabbos, please have a favor. Don't take a chance on Erev Shabbos. It's not worth it. Because even though it's a small commute, you never know what can happen. When the lights go off, it's a simon, we should finish. Okay. And that, I'm sorry if I kept you with the story, but okay. Sometimes you just want to share what happened.
Okay, good shabbos. So then go there, especially thank you for coming this time.